you have been through a storm that turned your lives upside down.
Oh, yeah.
And you're still standing.
Oh, my, yeah.
God sees your needs.
Yeah.
Just keep standing.
Keep standing.
Late in the midnight hour,
oh, yeah.
He's gonna turn it all around.
Yes, he will.
If you just keep standing,
if you hold on,
standing. Or you can come through.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
John 18, verse 37, from the New King James Version. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world. I want to stop right there. For this cause I was born. These are the words of Jesus. Look what Jesus said. For this cause I was born, and for this cause came I into the world. On your way to your seat, push five people like you're going to push them down and tell them, this is what I do. I said five people. That's three and a half. Tell five people. I said push them. Push them. Push them and say, this is what I do. You may be seated in the Lord's house. So I'm trying out this new tailor, right? I'm trying him out. I'm giving him a shot at making some of my clothes. Those of you that have ever had anything tailored, you know, certain people, you know, hey, you got to do it right. If you're going to do this, I'm going to pay you a little more because I want it made just for me. So please do it right. So this new tailor of mine, he drops down on his knee with a piece of chalk and he's fitting my pants. And every brother here knows there's a certain way you like your pants to kind of hit your shoe and the break be just right. And he drops down on his knee with a piece of chalk, hits it one time, and jumps back up and says, you can take them off now. I said, sir, I've been getting clothes tailored a long time, and you did that too fast for me. I said, now I'm going to pay you right and on time. I want my stuff tight and right. He said, Pastor Vernon, I'm sure that you do a lot of wonderful things, but this is what I do. Take them pants off. They're done. And then I started seeing this reoccurring theme in all the movies I was watching. One guy would be driving real fast, and the passenger would say, man, slow down, we're going to hit something. And this experienced driver would look over at him and say, man, this is what I do. They're not being arrogant. they are saying that this is what I was called to do. This is what I do well. Every person in this room should have at least one thing that you can emphatically say, this is what I do. Ooh, that's good stuff, isn't it, everybody? Man, I like that, because in this particular Johannine text, in John 18, we see Christ at his best a few moments from Calvary. They're getting ready to hang him high and stretch him wide. He's standing before Pilate. You know why he's there, don't you? They've marched him, old folk used to say, from judgment hall to judgment hall. He started off with Caiaphas, the high priest. The only issue is the high priest has no authority to invoke capital punishment. They want Jesus dead. The high priest cannot formally charge him with murder or any other felony or any other thing because he's done nothing wrong. They need somebody to charge him with saying he's God, all type of stuff. So they march him to Pilate, and Pilate really doesn't want him. He sends him to Herod. Herod said, he's from your jurisdiction. I don't want him. You take him. So Pilate, Herod, they're marching him back and forth, just playing with my Jesus. Just marching him back and forth. The reason why no one wanted him is because no one could find anything wrong with him. And so Herod is saying, Pilate is saying, what has the man done? Why y'all hate him so much? Well, you know, he's saying he God and everything. The issue is the Jews could not invoke capital punishment. The Roman authority had to give the okay to kill him. So that's why he's in front of Pilate, just for some quick context. Now he's standing in front of Pilate, and Pilate's saying whatever he's saying to Jesus, and Jesus drops this on him. Jesus drops this on him. Jesus looks at Pilate and says, for this cause I was born, and for this cause came I into the world. I didn't come to make love to a woman. I'll never make love to a woman. I'll never have a wife. I'll never buy a house. I'll never have a car. I came to die. Yeah, that's why I came. This is my purpose. This is my cause. Is that powerful stuff, everybody? Please catch this, because Christ was never uncertain about his assignment. He was methodical with every move. Oh, that's so powerful. He was methodical with every move. His assignment was absent of ambiguity. His assignment, don't you love that, was absent of ambiguity. He was never guessing. There was no uncertainty. He knew why he had came. He had no time to waste. He only had 33 years to get this done. He had to raise up 12 street brothers, teach them how to be kingdom. He had to die on that cross, get back to heaven. He only had 33 years to do it. He didn't have any time to waste. He even got mad at his mama Mary when she took him to the reception and go running there talking about they ran out of wine. She said, mama, that ain't my purpose. Dang, mommy, you're always making me do stuff. And so he went ahead and turned water into wine, but that wasn't even a part of his purpose, he said. He was serious about his purpose. The purpose of this teaching on purpose, no pun intended, is to push you into purpose. I'm hoping one or two things happen. I want you to leave here one or two ways, and I ain't playing with you. Either I want you to leave here motivated, or I want you to leave here frustrated. That's right. Please forgive the imprecatory undertone of that tense. But that's right. I have no problem with God frustrating you. I want you motivated to go and find your purpose or to stay in your purpose. Or I'm about to ask God to frustrate you. Lord, let her lose sleep. Let her get sick of her job. Let her get tired of the people hanging around her. Push her behind into purpose. If she don't want to go, frustrate her. Make her sick of her supervisor. Make her sick of the car she's driving. Make her sick of who the people. Everybody she on the, make her delete some people out of her phone. Frustrate her. Until she gets into purpose. The Bible is replete with passages on purpose. You just ignored some of them. Jeremiah 1. Verse 4 is kind of powerful. Jeremiah 1, you know, when God said to Jeremiah, I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Look at that. I knew you before I formed you in the womb. I consecrated you as a prophet to the nations. Be careful using that text out of context, because everybody is not a prophet to the nations. Every pastor quotes this verse like you can use it for the whole church. No, he called Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations. That's his purpose. What's yours? But here's the part you should lift up. Before I formed you in the womb. There's your answer to abortion. Stop arguing. When does life begin? At conception or at birth? At conception. How do we know it? He says, before I formed you, I knew you. Before you had fingers, before you had toes, soon as the sperm hooked up with the egg, I knew you. As soon as the sperm hooked up with the egg, I knew you, even if it was a rendezvous that they didn't mean to have. Most of us were not planned by our mamas. I've been telling you for years, Vicki Vernon had me at 15, got pregnant at 15, had me at 16. Don't tell me she planned to have me. She'll be the first to tell you she did not, but I'm glad I'm here. Aren't you glad she didn't abort your pastor? Everybody say, thank you, Miss Vernon. Go ahead. Thank you, Miss Vernon. Thank you, Miss Vernon. Yeah, because there was purpose on me. Jeremiah 20, verse 11. You all know this one, too. You all know this. It's up there on the screen. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. I know the plans. Every campus, look at me. I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to give you a future and not a hope. God has a purpose for every person in this room. I don't care if there was a date rape. I don't care if you got here by molestation. I don't care if you got here by one night stand and mama don't even know the man. I don't care if you've been adopted, dropped, abandoned, abused, dissed. God still says you couldn't have got here if I didn't want you here. And since you are here, I have a purpose and a plan for your life. So come out of that depression and believe God now that God has a plan for you. Is that powerful, everybody? Exodus 9, verse 16. I just like the Bible. Let me lay this down, and then we'll make it pragmatic. But I have raised you up for this very purpose. Look what God says to Moses. I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that in my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Look what he says to Moses. You do know that Mo didn't talk that good. He didn't have the best tongue in the world. He stuttered and stammered. All he had was a rod in his hand, trying not to shout. But God used a stick and a stutter. Thank you, Bishop Jakes, to change the whole nation. All he had was a stick and a stutter, and he ended up leading the whole nation of Israel, because God says, with all your deficiencies, I got purpose on you. Every person in this room and every campus watching me, God has a predetermined purpose for your life. The question becomes, will you walk in it? Will you attain it? Will you ask for it, or will you meddle in mediocrity the rest of your life, as opposed to walking up the hill of excellence and purpose? I believe God has a purpose for your life. Proverbs 19, verse 21, I got to give it to you. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Many are the plans in a man's heart. Anybody bust a move God didn't tell you, like me? Many are the plans. Many of us had all kind of plans that wasn't God's plan. Many of us had all kind of plans that wasn't God's plan, but the Lord's purpose prevails. God says, I got a plan for you. That's your problem. This is my man. That's the problem. He your man and not God's man. How many of you want God to give you your next man? Come on, talk to me. You want God to put you on your next job, God to help you pick your next house, nothing you want to do. Rick Warren in 2002 wrote his masterpiece on purpose called The Purpose-Driven Life. Over 30 million copies have been sold in several languages. It stayed on the New York Times bestsellers list for nearly 90 weeks. Nearly 90 weeks, 30 million people. I'm not sure it's the best book ever written, but apparently it's one of the most necessary, because Muslims was picking it up. Agnostics, atheists, church people, black, white, rich, poor, many of you have it, bought it in airports. It was everywhere. Why? Because everyone subconsciously, intuitively is looking for purpose. It has to be more than my life than going half on a baby with him and half on the house. No, God, what in the world am I here for? That's the question that people are asking. It's right there on the screens. Look at it. What on earth am I here for? In his book, Warren answers by giving five things he believes. I want to show them to you right quick. Here they are, five things that Warren says. He says, number one, you were planned for God's pleasure. That's called worship. You were formed for God's family at the campuses. How good is this? You were formed for God's family. That's called fellowship. You were created to become like Christ. That's discipleship. You were shaped for serving God. That's ministry. You were made for a mission. These are right from Warren's book. These are right from Warren's book. He says you were planned for God's purpose. Did you know that one of the reasons God made you was to worship him? How many of you woke up this morning and said, thank you, Jesus? Raise your hand. He created you to worship him. Everybody ought to be a worshiper. One of your main purposes in life is to thank God for life. You were formed for God's family fellowship, which means we need you at the Word. You need this blessed fellowship that we have. It's critical that you are not codependent. That's a problem. Don't be codependent like you don't need nobody. And then interdependent. We are interdependent. We need each other. We're not codependent. We're not dependent of each other. You were shaped for serving God. You were made for a mission. You were made for a mission. Is that good stuff, everybody? Okay, let's get to it, because here's where it gets good. Everybody pay attention. Occupation vis-a-vis vocation. Let's break down occupation. Occupation, a person's usual, look at me at the campuses, or principal work or business, especially as a means of earning a living. Vocation, a person's usual or principal work. How you eat every day, that's your occupation. I got all type of people here. Some people cut grass. There are carpenters here. There are people who work with children. There are people here who deliver mail. There are people here who do hair, work in salons. That's your occupation. That's how you eat. That's your occupation. Now look at vocation. Thinking people, stay with me here. Here's vocation. Look at it quickly. Vocation, a particular occupation, business or profession, calling, a strong impulse or inclination to follow a particular activity or career, a divine call to God's service or to Christian life, a function or station in life to which one is called by God, the religious vocation, the vocation of marriage. I'm called to Victory Rose Vernon. She ain't just a chick on the side or the woman of the week. No, I'm called to her. Don't matter what happened. I'm called to her. It's my vocation to be married to her. You have a vocation. Pastor's not here to have a job fair. Go someplace else and get that. I'm here to ask you, to ask yourself, what has God called you to? Vocation, occupation. What's the difference? Vocation is my calling. Occupation is how I eat. The two can come together. My prayer is that how you eat is also your call. Is that good stuff, everybody? What do you mean, Pastor? I'm talking about the idea some people are school teachers. Even though she doesn't work at a church or a Christian school, that's her call. What do you mean that's her call? She knows God has called her. She has a bachelor's degree. I got all the teachers at the Word Church. Check this out. She can make more money doing something else. But she shows up to a class where parents don't prepare their own kids to be taught, and then the kids dog her in the class. She don't make enough money, but yet she won't quit. Why? Because she's not just there for money. She's there for purpose. She's been called. Y'all not talking to me. It's sad to show up at a job every day that you hate because you haven't been called to it. In my case, the two are the same. How I make my living is also my call. This is what I do. I can't do nothing else. It is my call. Are you just getting a check, or have you been called there? What is your calling in life? I want to push somebody. I want to mess with somebody. If you hate going to work every day, you haven't been called. You don't have to work at a religious institution or a nonprofit to be in your call. And it may be delivering mail every day. It may be working with children. You can make more money doing something else, but God got you where he wants you. Ooh, I want to push somebody. Don't you die out of purpose. Don't stay somewhere 30 years just to get a check. No, I say you ought to be what God wants you. Ooh, I know young people are glad to hear this. Let me tell you what purpose does for you at every campus. Number one, purpose guides you. Ooh, when I know my purpose, I know who can be my friend. When I know my purpose, I know who my associates can be. It keeps me in the pocket. It helps me with time allotment. It helps me with goal setting. When I know my call, I know where I can be and where I can't be. I know who's wasting my time and who's not, because you're keeping me out my purpose. I ain't got time for this. Are y'all listening to me? So purpose guides me. Let me ask you a question. If you were worth thousands of dollars, pretty much in any city in America, to go on pretty much any night and talk for about 35, 40 minutes on whatever subject you like, and they flew you private or flew you first class and put you in a nice hotel of your choice and paid you thousands of dollars for 45 minutes, who thinks you would go? Raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, I'll bust you in the face. I'm telling you right now, you be gone tomorrow. Please catch this from my heart. That's exactly what your pastor turns down about 5 days a week. Because it's not my purpose. You my purpose. Pastor, you don't need money? Oh, yes. But I'm not chasing money. I'm chasing purpose. And if I chase purpose, money getting ready to chase me. Y'all better have church with me. There are people who make less to be in purpose. I gain purpose out of teaching you right now, out of watching the light come on in your head, out of seeing the members that I love get to the next level, singles not making dumb choices, marriages staying together, people clearing their debt, getting life insurance, becoming better people. It guides my choices. Lady Vernon just left Akron. She's headed to another campus. She's here all day. Why? Because our purpose guides us. Can I tell you, one of the reasons why you winging it and wasting time is because you don't know your purpose. That's why you jumping in and out of stuff. That's why you go to college and change your major 3 times before you graduate, because you didn't pray before you went. Ooh, this sermon is not just for us old folk. It's for millennials. Aren't you glad I'm preaching this to teenagers and children? Because the quicker you find out your purpose, you don't have to waste time on marrying nobody stupid, having a baby's daddy, getting the wrong job, coming off crack and coming back, going to prison first, staying with a dude, messing up your credit. Don't you look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Is there anybody that would say, Pastor, preach this to all my kids, preach it to my grandkids, preach it to my nephews, preach it to everybody. Find your purpose quickly. Not only does your purpose guide you, but secondly, your purpose galvanizes you. Is that good stuff? I know I gave you that, but it galvanizes you. It gives you energy. When you're in your purpose, you don't hardly ever get tired. Why you think those guys run up and down the court for 30 minutes, 2 hours? Because they're in purpose. I'm in purpose right now. I'm not that cute. Y'all can see that. I like to shoot hoop. I got a nice little left when it used to work. I used to shoot a little jumper, but it's over now. Pray for me. Only thing I've ever really been good at is holding the mic, leading people. It's what I do. People get on my nerves talking about, he got that big old church. You see my glory, you don't know my story. I ain't just start doing this when it got popular. Back in the day, wasn't no big churches. Didn't nobody come on TV. Brother Mark, I didn't do this knowing we was going to have all this. I ain't see all this. I was just in purpose. I started praying when I was a little boy. First time I heard a Jasper Williams album. Baptist preacher Jasper Williams, kudos if you're watching, in Atlanta, Georgia. He used to have albums back then. One of the only preachers that had albums. My grandmother put that album on. Something jumped in me. I said, I'm going to do that. I went in the bathroom and got me a wash towel and threw it over my shoulder. I got the salt shaker and said, oh, yeah. And you know, God, yeah. Oh, Lord. So I'm just like Jasper. I mean, I could do it right now. I could do it. I got the whole thing. And from then to now, I said, Mama, I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to be a preacher. I never wanted to be a hooper. I never wanted to be the best lawyer. Always want to do what I'm doing. I ain't have to skip no steps. I caught it early. And so guess what happens when they put this mic on me? Energy comes. What is it? It was Howard Thurman who said, ask not what the world needs, but rather ask yourself what makes you come alive and go do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Question, what makes you come alive? What could you do all day and do it for free if you had to? That's what you should be doing for a living and getting paid for it. I'm going to talk to somebody. You know, my kids, I'm very serious about getting my kids in purpose early. And I was asking Ray, I said, Ray, you know, Daddy got a little pull. And I got friends in a few places. You want to do the Harvard thing, Princeton? You want to go to a very prestigious black college? You want to be a Morehouse man? Come on, what you tripping on? I started asking him that 2-3 years ago. Let Daddy get ready, make some calls. Let's, hey, get this grade point average right. He said, Daddy, I want to do what you do. I said, no, don't do this. Unless he told you. He said, well, I don't know about preaching and pastoring, but I know I love ministry. I love talking to the kids and getting up on stage and helping orchestrate things. I said, oh, God, he got the bug. Lord Jesus, Lord, you done made another me. I'm praying. And so I said, are you sure? Where you want to go to school at? I want to go to the seminary you went to. I said, okay. Now, conversely, Ralph, my 10-year-old, has no aspirations for ministry at all. He made it crystal clear, I'm going to L.A. soon as I can, Dad. Now, some of you may think I tried to talk him out of it. I said, are you sure? Because I'm not saying you need to be in ministry with that. He said, no, let Ray do that. I'm going to L.A. Can I leave today? I mean, he's been saying this since he was 5. He said, Daddy, I like to dance. I said, well, promise me you'll dance for the glory of God at least. I said, dance? He says, yes, Daddy, I want to dance. So I knew it was confirmed by God because I asked him to go put something in the truck for me. And he had a bunch of stuff in his hand, and he was going to my truck, and he made a mistake and dropped something in front of my truck. When he bent down to pick it up, he saw his reflection in the door. I said, baby, the little Negro is dancing in the door. He's dancing in the door, baby. He's looking at himself in the door. So all parents who pay rent, I hope you never knock on doors. I don't knock on any doors where I pay rent. I just bust up in there. So every morning, 5:30, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, I go down to the boys' room, and Ray is honestly, without knowing I'm coming in, laid out before the Lord, and he's reading something, and then I walk in on Ralph. In the mirror, but both of them are in purpose. Y'all just missed that, huh? Don't hate on Ralph. He's in purpose. Everybody has to do what's in them to do, not what people tell you you ought to do. God can use that dancing just like he can use that preaching. The question becomes, what did God call you to do? Here's a tweetable moment. I got to leave y'all alone. Here's a tweetable moment. You ought to be so good at one thing, you have to ask God to keep you humble. Woo, you don't know how good that is. What is it that you're so good at? You have to say, Lord, don't let me act arrogant, because can't nobody in here do hair like me. Every chick in the salon want to be me. But can't none of them put track? I mean, you're like, Lord, keep me humble, because I'm feeling very arrogant right now. Because can't a person in here put track in weave in head like me? Pastor, if I put weave in your head, you need to understand, if somebody pull your hair, your head will come off your shoulders before your track come out your head. Because when I put it in there, I'm sorry, push three people, say, this is what I do. Go ahead. Y'all just missed that. I got to get some holy boldness up in here. I need some ushers to say, Pastor, preach all you want, but don't come back here to this door, because this is what I do. I don't care how long you've been in church, Pastor. I'm the best usher in here. If don't nobody show up, I'll usher this whole joint by myself. When I usher, you think you're watching the Temptations. Doom, doom, doom. Doom, doom, doom. Doom, doom, doom. Doom, doom. I felt that. Woo, stop, Mark. That was good. We can go there now. Lean on somebody and say, I'm not leaving my church. I don't care what's wrong with them. I love my pastor. I'm not going to leave. I don't care who leave. I'm going to stay right here. I'm telling you, shameless plug, next weekend, we're having a ministry sign-up. I don't just preach stuff because I don't have nothing to preach. I'm always headed somewhere. That's called leadership. We've been dealing with your finance for a couple of months. Now I want to push you into purpose. Next weekend, when I get through preaching, we're going to ask you to go to field number 2 and sign up for a ministry of some kind. Because I'll teach you on next weekend that 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 teach us that every person has a gift in the church. A purpose in the church. I don't just want your money. I want you. God wants you. We are limping without you. You think we walking good. We'd be walking better if it wasn't for you. Because since you're not in purpose, the word church is limping. Because the pinky toe, cut it off and see if you don't limp. I know people think the pinky toe don't mean nothing. Girls go to the salon, you can't even paint it. You just dot it. Just dot. Just. Girl tried to paint it, she just dot. You know, that's free money. Just dot. That's it. You don't even need no polish. Just dot. You ain't even got no nail on it, but but cut it off and see if you don't limp. That's a fact.